All right, everybody, and welcome to this Thursday morning podcast from Today's Topics with Elmo. And let's, like I promised, talk about the future of video games. Okay, I said this yesterday at the end of the podcast that I would be talking about what my opinions are with the future. If you all remember back in, what was it, 2013? When E3 happened and Microsoft practically killed themselves on the Xbox One, when they mentioned that you were going to have to be online at all times to play this console, or at least once within a 24-hour period, and then also that if you wanted to play used games, well, apparently, in their words, that's what the 360 was for. That, I believe, will come back in the future. I really do. And the reason I say that is because we still, when we buy video games, we don't own the video game. We own our rights to play it, our rights to trade it, and our rights to borrow it from other people, you know. And that's basically what the companies are trying to get at. Now, right now, a lot of developers don't really care. You know, they're getting money for the game either way. Okay, as long as they're staying in the black, I guess you could say, that they're not going to worry too much about, you know, who's trading or how much is being traded or whatever. So, I think in the future, it will come down to that if they don't quit butt-raping us, sorry for better language, with free-to-play games that are loot boxes and all that other jumbo, but that's a whole different topic. What I'm trying to get at today is, I think companies will eventually get back to that DRM, which is digital rights management. And if they get back to that, and they try to force down our throats that we don't own our copy of the game, we rent it, and that they can control whatever they want to with it, I think we'll get back to the point where that we're going to have to essentially just have our copy of the game and then screw whoever else wants to play it, basically, is what they're going to tell us. And as far as this online-only stuff, I don't think, honestly, that'll come back too much unless 90% of the country is connected. There is still a lot of the country that is not connected at a higher speed rate. Like, my internet right now is 15 megabytes per second, okay? That is the fastest I can get in my area. Granted, there is satellite internet, but there's data caps all over it. I use so much internet with Netflix, Hulu, and all those other things that I can't, you know, I can't afford to have a satellite internet. Granted, some of the companies are pretty good at offering, like one of them is 25 megabytes per second, but what they don't tell you is their data caps are extremely low, and after that it's like 3 megabytes per second, and it's not worth it. Not worth it at all. So, I'll just stick with my 15 megabytes until they offer something better, and maybe they will in the future. I've heard rumors about them upgrading, but that's besides the point. What I'm trying to get across is, yes, they might come back to it, but it will be a long time before consoles are forced to be on the internet. But developers have pretty much taken that into their own hands anyway by making online-only games. So it's kind of like they got with the console makers, and they're like, hey, can you make this game to where they can only play it online? So they really have to be online anyway. Like games like The Crew, The Crew 2, Destiny 1 and 2, and all the add-ons that go with that. And there's a bunch more. Those are just the two that I can pop off the top of my head that you have to have internet to play. And obviously, you have to have internet to play Fortnite. That's a given, okay? And a lot of the other free-to-play games, you do too. But the whole law that states, well, the gaming law that Microsoft wanted to push that you have to be online, I think that's just a bunch of bullcrap, to be honest with you. and maybe it won't come back for a while. But with Google Stadia coming out, it brings an innovative console out for a fair price for people that have fast enough internet. But here's the key. You have to have fast enough internet, or otherwise you're going to be playing really cheap-looking games. I would probably be playing 720p. No, I think, yeah, I could get 1080p. I was trying to remember the chart in my head that showed which quality levels I could get at each internet rate. Right now, I am at the level for 4K, but we all know how internet is. It can fluctuate to a couple megabytes above and a couple megabytes below, even if there's nobody on it. It all depends on who's on the server. So, with that being said, is it worth the whatever price point it was going to be? I need to do my research on that. I don't think so. You know, for me, no, it's not. But with it coming out and being released, and that's going to push these internet companies harder to try to improve, you know, because people's demanding more and more and faster internet. I know Windstream is offering in some cities 1 gigabyte per second. That is a huge amount. I grew up on dial-up, okay? A lot of people can't say that. A lot of people that live in bigger towns and bigger cities, all their life they've had this instant connect, you know, DSL, broadband. It's always been around them, okay? I grew up hearing that annoying noise, had to get kicked off every time you get a phone call, had to get off when somebody wanted to make a phone call, and you always had that one sibling, which I grew up an only child, but I've heard stories about that one sibling who always wanted to stay on the phone and you could never get on the internet and talk on MySpace or, what's that one called that I used as a kid? Bebo. I don't know if y'all remember that, but I had one. But it's just, it's crazy, okay? Sony, I don't know what their objective is with this. We're going to skip out of E3. But honestly, after seeing what Xbox was supposed to be so big about revealing, they didn't miss much. I mean, granted, I am ecstatic for the new console that Xbox is going to release. And before you say anything, I'm not a PS4 fanboy and I'm not an Xbox fanboy. I'm whoever that when I look at both systems side by side on TVs, which one I feel like puts out the better screen, the better picture, the easier ease of use. I side with that system. I was a Xbox fanboy on the 360. I was a PS4 fanboy on the PS4. But I am an Xbox One X fanboy on the One X, obviously. So, I feel like I go with what is best. I don't choose sides. Because that just starts a war that nobody wants. And we all been there. Oh, you only play PlayStation. Or you only play Xbox. Well, I've got both. Y'all can get over it. But, you know, with Sony skipping out on E3, that they didn't miss much. And now come to find out that the same exact specs that the Xbox is going to have, the new Xbox, Project Anaconda, no, not Anaconda, Project Scarlet, is going to have, whatever it's going to be called, in the end, is exactly the same as the competitor. Even down to the type of person making the processor and the type of person making the graphics card. It's all the same people. They've all got the same contracts. We just have to see, in the end, it's going to boil down to exclusives, and it's going to boil down to, for some reason, one of them will always look better. I don't know why. For years, like, you've got gaming PCs, okay? You could have the same thing in a gaming PC as a console does, but somehow the gaming PC makes it look better. Why is that? The world may never know. It's just simply is. And I guess it's because the PC allows you to have a lot more settings. You are allowed to overclock the processors and all this other stuff that you're not really allowed to do on consoles because it's such a confined space, it overheats really easily. But with a 1X, they've got this whole new cooling system, hydrocooling or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it works amazing. This thing stays pretty hot on one side in the back, but it's right where the power source is, so I can kind of understand that. But for the most part, the console stays really cool. The fans don't kick on near that much. Looks like I need to wipe it down a little bit because it is getting kind of dusty on the outside. But I will not ever take that one apart. It will probably be one I take in to trade in to the new one. But then again, I don't know. I might keep it, give it to my kids, let them play it. Because by the time that comes out, I'll have a 9-year-old and a 6 or 7-year-old. And then 3 or 4-year-old, he probably, you know, won't get into gaming that much. My kids have the problem right now that their hands are a little too small for the controllers, especially Xbox controllers. So I'm looking into getting them. PlayStation's got that little mini controller kind of thing for kids. It's wired. So I thought about getting them a couple of them and hooking my PlayStation up in their room when they get their TV back and when they learn how to pick up their own toys, because they are grounded right now. And I hate doing that. I really do. I want to see the kids play and be happy, but I feel like as a parent, I need to teach them responsibilities. Not video game topic, but let's get back on that track. Okay. So, with this being the new age of cross-platform, I think I have heard reference say that both console makers are going to be cross-platform. And I don't really know how I feel about that. Like, I don't know what their objective is. I feel like now there's going to be a lot better options. You know, I feel like they're really going to vamp up their own, like, Plus subscription. Like, you know, PS Plus or Xbox Gold. I feel like they're going to up that just to try to get more people to go to their console, so that'd be like a way to earn money for each one. But I also feel like in the end game, each game's going to have its own benefits for Xbox or benefits for PS, what, 5 or whatever it's going to be. Okay, I have no fact on that, but I can see that in the future. Like, if all these games that are coming out are going to be cross-platform, these consoles are going to have to fight for some reason to get each player on their side. Or otherwise, it's not going to matter which console you have. You know, maybe the games will come out with certain suits or certain upgrades that you have to have for PlayStation. But is that going to be fair that if Xbox don't have the same level? You know, then that would in turn that a game is favoring more toward the PlayStation or favoring more toward the Xbox. And I can see a lot of people fighting about that, like getting mad and fighting with the companies over that, because that would make them have to go pay $300 for another console just to get a $20 item that they could only get if they had the other console. So that brings a lot of unfairness out. Is it going to change? Probably not. Who knows? It may not even happen. But I feel like these console companies are going to try to fight to make up the profit that they're going to lose because everything is cross-platform. But moving on, we go to the Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Switch Lite now has up to 8 hours gameplay, which I'm happy about. I don't have a Switch, and I will get one eventually. But just knowing that it's only portable. Okay, this Nintendo Switch Lite, it has up to 8 hours. But it's only portable. You know, you can't hook it up to your TV. I mean, I'm sure you could. I'm sure there's like a little port where you can put a, what is it called? Mini USB or micro USB or whatever charger port they use to a HDMI. But Nintendo's always been weird like that. They may not even have one of those. I remember the Game Boy Advance SPs. They were at the dawn of the mini USB era, but they wanted to be different and create this like weird square rectangular charger port with a hump in the middle, just so that you could not use that charger anywhere else. And I love that system. I played that thing for ever. I was in middle school. And once I got toward high school, I just kind of got away from it. I got a 360. I wanted a Wii at first. But then I got the bright idea that, you know, all the stuff that they said you could do with a Wii that made it so extra special. Well, you could do that sitting down on your couch. And there was no point to get it. So I'm glad I did not invest my whatever it was, $150, $200 in that. I still kind of want one, though. For one reason only. And that's all the GameCube games. And I had a GameCube. But the funny part is, most of the games I played on it are not console locked. Like, I wish Xbox would come out and re-release, what is it? I remember the characters of the game. There was two games in this series. True Crime. A lot of y'all would know it by Sleeping Dogs. Sleeping Dogs, this funny backstory to this, was actually supposed to be True Crime Streets of Hong Kong. But at the last minute, it was canceled and given another name by a new company that bought the idea. Or them, I don't remember if the company bought or they got split and this company kept it going. But either way, at one point in time, it got canceled. And it was supposed to go under the name True Crime Streets of Hong Kong. And I loved the first two. I loved the character in the first one. He was funny. He was sarcastic. He's a lot of where I've got my beginning of sarcasm from. I have nothing against the guy in the second one. I really don't. I just felt like he wasn't my style. You know, he was gangster raised. He only became a cop. I felt like he only became a cop because he was bailed out and kind of, what is it they call it when they do that? They turn a drug dealer into a cop or a drug dealer, thug, gangster, whatever you want to call him. That lifestyle, turn him into a cop just to try to go undercover in a way, which is, granted, I'm glad he done that. I just don't remember the moral of why it happened. I think one of his, I guess you could say, peers that practically raised him was killed, and I think that's why he wanted to join. Maybe that was it. I don't remember. But the character, it just, he wasn't as funny. He fit the area, but to me, he didn't fit the game style. But for a year or two, that's all I played was the first one. Or probably about a year. That's all I played was the first one. So I didn't have any. I seen True Crime as like a funny cop. He was smart alecky when he arrested you. One of his famous lines was, "Hi, my name is Nick Kang, and I'll be your carjacker today." You know, that made me laugh as a whatever age I was when I played it. I can't remember. I was young, and probably should not have been playing it, because kids these days would probably take the game seriously at that age. And, you know, that's a whole nother topic. And do I believe video games incite violence? No. But I think it's also up to the parents to teach their own kids right from wrong. And also, it's up to the parents to control what their kid puts in their life. Okay? If the game says rated M for mature, you don't let a 10-year-old play it. For reasons known that's listed on the game. Okay? But they also need to be able to, in their mind, to sort reality from fiction. Okay? That is the main thing. Like, if there's a lot of killing and stuff on a video game, they need to be able to in their brain, think the value of a human life on this video game is not real. The value of a human life in reality, each person is going to be missed if their life was to end today. It doesn't matter who it is, somebody will miss them. Okay, and it could be the worst heartbreak they've ever had. And also, the human life is valuable, regardless of who misses you or not. Okay, we should never want to, you know, even think about terminating somebody's life. Because that's just horrible to think about. Like, even people I have the worst disagreements with, I never wish death upon them. Really, I don't, because, I mean, as a kid, I probably said it a couple of times, but as an adult, I have matured in the knowledge of saying, I don't wish death upon anybody, no matter how bad they treat me, because once you're gone, you're gone. There is no coming back. You know, once you're gone for good, you're gone. So, it's valuable. But, back on tech. I keep getting sidetracked and I don't know why. Apparently, right now, Target, for y'all that are listening to this on, what is it, Thursday, July 25th. Apparently, Target and certain other stores has the PlayStation Classic for $20 right now. Now, if you don't know what that is, PlayStation Classic is this little bitty miniature PlayStation. It's like a replica PlayStation, but it's a lot smaller, and it's preloaded with a bunch of the number one titles of the PlayStation. I think it's got Final Fantasy. It's got... Well, I don't remember. But I'm pretty sure it's got Crash Bandicoot, all three of them. But it's not an updated graphics. Just keep that in mind. I think it's got the old. It's got all the old versions, but they're not updated. So just keep that in mind that you're not getting a $40 game for and plus others for $20. So no, it's not that. I missed out on buying, what was it, the SNES and the NES, which I had an SNES, and I looked at the game list that was on them, on the classics, and not a lot of the games that I actually played was on there. So I didn't really care too much about that one, and I never had a original Nintendo. But if they ever come out with a Nintendo 64 classic, I'm getting that. I am getting that sucker. Mm-hmm. Yep. N64 was my jam, okay? That is where I really, really first got into gaming. You know, as a kid, I was playing the Super Nintendo. And I loved it. I had a lot of fun. But, you know, in a 2D world, you know, a lot of this mumbo jumbo was just hopping from one place to the other, ducking at the right time. There was no real story to it. The only two stories that I ever had in video games was Aladdin and The Lion King. There was also a Spider-Man game that I had, but I really don't care. Don't really count that one. Okay? Because it was just like a little comic book skit, and it had the X-Men in it, and I never could beat it. It was too hard for me. A lot of the games that I had never could beat Aladdin. Never could beat Toy Story. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention Toy Story 2. That was the story one. Obviously. But I never could beat Aladdin. Or no, I beat Aladdin. I beat Aladdin easily. Yeah, I almost 100%ed it if you could in a Super Nintendo game. And then my dad tricked me. I remember this. The connectors on my Super Nintendo were starting to break. And, well, there was a game I wanted, and I had mentioned the connectors not working too good, because on the weekends, I would go and spend with my grandma, you know, a lot of times. So, I mean, I would take it with me. You know, she would let me play it on her TV, and I could play it for hours and hours as long as I would let her watch her soap operas. That was the only rule that I had, which was till about, I could play at 11:30, I think, for an hour, and then at 12:30, the soaps would come back on, and then at 4 o'clock on, I could play whatever I wanted. So I would when you unhook it and hook it up every weekend, eventually they do wear out, especially old ones like that. So I had mentioned to my dad that the connectors were getting kind of loose, and he said, well, just be easy with it. So I thought, I'll be easy with it. So after a while, they actually started to not work. I actually had to start blowing in them, even though they tell you not to do that. But, and eventually, they just got pretty bad. So I mentioned it to him, and he's like, well, we'll look into getting you a new one. And there was a bundle at Walmart. It had Star Wars, Podracer, Episode 1 Podracer, in a bundle with a Super Nintendo. And I wanted it, okay? I had no idea that he had went and put in layaway a Super Nintendo, or not Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64 for my birthday. That was amazing. And he kind of tricked me, because when he went and got it out of layaway, they had gift-wrapped it. But they had gift-wrapped it. I'll get this out in a minute. Gift-wrapped it in cardboard paper. So it looked like brown paper bag wrapped around it. So they tried playing a trick on me and saying, well, this could be a game system, or this could be a pair of shoes or something, you know? I was like, what kind of shoes come in a box that big? But that was as a kid, you know? So I opened it up, and it wasn't a Super Nintendo, and I was confused at first, because I was like 7 or 8, and I didn't know what it was. So I kept opening it, and I was like, Nintendo 64? And then it hit me what it was. It was the newest one that had came out. Of course, even then, it was like 3 years old. Up until I got my 360, or even when I got my 360, it was a couple years old. But even, which I think a couple years old is, unless you're trying to stay on top of the gaming world, a couple years is a really good enough time that the old system has died out, and the new system has got enough exclusives and enough games built up that you can just dive right into it and get a lot of time in on it, okay? If you buy it day one, unless there's a lot of games that you can backwards compatible, you know, which is another topic on the newer systems that I'll get to in just a second, there is really nothing for you to play but maybe a handful of launch day games. And then once you're done with those, you just kind of have to wait for the salt to come through the shaker, so to speak, or the sand to go through the hourglass. There'll be one come out here and there, but you just kind of got to wait for them. And, you know, some of them you might actually beat within 2 or 3 days, you know. The issue I had with PS4 when it first came out, it had amazing launch day titles. Killzone, Shadowfall, Second Son. There's a couple more, but the biggest ones was the indie games. They pushed those indie games, which, I mean, I understand independent developers, okay? They're great. They're a great asset, okay? But you don't need to make them your frontliner. They messed up on that, okay? Indie gamers need to be indie gamers until they get to be name brand gamers, okay? Or game developers. Everybody's got to start small. You can't push them at the front and then expect everybody to buy your console. Even though the PlayStation sold more than the Xbox, but a lot of that was because of the Xbox, retail spokesperson at the E3 conferences. He pretty much messed all that up for them, in my opinion. And one of their biggest mistakes, I think, and I think they realize this now, was the Kinect. Okay, it was way before its time. It is a great idea, but the cameras and sensors and processors that we would need to react to that in real time cannot fit into a console. It worked amazing when they was in their test facilities, but their test facilities have massive computers, okay? The Xbox Kinect system may have worked really good for the first couple months, but after that, you know, you get a little bit of, I guess you could say, brokenness into the console. You break it in, it's, you know, at running speed, and it's not as good as launch day. Nothing ever is. I mean, it's just a computer. I mean, even You know, you can have a PC, it could be a gaming PC, 2 months later, it's going to be a little slower. You may not even be able to notice it if it's a good enough gaming PC, but eventually it will get slower, even without viruses. Okay, it's just the way electronics works. This whole new idea that Xbox is going to make everything backwards compatible all the way to the Xbox original is the most brilliant idea I have ever seen in a video game console. And I'll explain why. Everybody has their favorite games that are exclusives, or maybe even not exclusive, but just some of their best sellers. Everybody's got that favorite from each console of the line, okay? And with PlayStation kind of ignoring that fact, they're missing out on a lot of customer opportunities, because if they go and they don't embrace this idea that people want to play the classic games just as much as they want to play the new ones, they're going to stick to the older consoles more than they are the newer ones. Because if they know that on launch day, there's not going to be hardly any games out, but yet they can't play their Halo 4. They can't play Halo 4 on the new console with a little bit smoother graphics. I mean, the graphics card will do a little bit of it. It won't do it a lot. You know, that's their favorite game. Or Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. That's their favorite game. And they can't play it on the new console because it's not backwards compatible. One, they're probably not going to trade their new console in. And two, they're not going to have the money to forfeit for a whole new console, which $500-$600, whatever it's going to be. Personally, I have debated on doing a video review on my YouTube channel of the new Xbox and the new PlayStation when it comes out. But I'll be honest with you, I may not keep them. Simply because the way that Microsoft has talked about the Xbox One X, it's not a full, complete upgrade from that. I mean, it is better. It's going to be the top of the line. But the Xbox One X still has a lot better potential. And by the time the max limit is reached for the Xbox One X, to where it cannot go any higher graphically capable on it, Project Anaconda, which some say said is canceled, but I don't think it is. I think it's postponed. They may even bring it up under a different code name. I believe Microsoft is playing secret on this one. I don't think they would cancel such a great idea, because it's like the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro. They were just a later invention, later update, trying to fight that race again. Because what it was, Xbox came out with their console, it sucked. So, in retaliation, they created the One X. Well, they created the One S, and it put out 4K video, okay? So, PlayStation kind of got this big head saying, well, we'll put out another one. It's going to put out 4K gaming, sort of. And then Xbox One X came out and said, what now? You know, so basically, and yes, it is the best statistically console on the market. With all the services that Microsoft offers and all the deals and all the sales and whatnot, that's how I find that Microsoft is a better console. Graphics, yeah, but it's not always the graphics that make it better, okay? Graphics is a key on how it looks, but if you're just gaming for the fun of it, services matter. Game Pass is a game winner, to be honest with you. The thing about all those games, and they're ever changing, some are leaving, some are newer coming, you know. So, PlayStation Now, just, it doesn't cut it. I know now you can start to download the games, but that was after they realized what Game Pass was doing and how big of an impact it had on the gaming industry. That's the reason they started letting people download them. But at the price point, it's still not worth it. It's $20 a month unless you buy 3 months at a time at $45.99. Or no, $44.99. It's a dollar difference. So, I remember at one time, certain times of the year, they offer 1 year of PlayStation Now for $100. That's a decent deal. But now, Microsoft kind of retaliated to that, and it now has the Game Pass Ultimate. $15 a month, get you Game Pass and Gold. And I think they even do monthly and yearly prices on that too. But I hope that in the future, PlayStation comes out and says, we're going to make it backwards compatible all the way to the one. At first, that was the intentions, making it backwards compatible all the way to the PS1, that if you wanted to take a PS1 disc, throw it in the disc drive of the PS5, it would play it. Now the rumors are that it's only going to play back to the 4. That's stupid. You got Xbox over here that will play back to the Xbox Classic, but you can't manage to go even to the 3. Don't even go to the 2, just the 3. There was a lot of games on the 3 that I liked. But you can't... I don't understand game companies sometimes. Sony's just acting greedy. I don't know what's wrong with them. They pulled out of E3. They don't want to reveal anything. There's just a lot of stuff. I mentioned in a video one time all the stuff that was going on with them. But I can't remember half of what I said. To be honest with you, I'll have to go back and watch that video of myself. That's kind of weird. I don't like watching myself. I record videos for YouTube a lot, and I'll be honest with you, I don't watch them. I don't even edit. I mean, I edit them a little bit. I, like, while I'm doing them, I take check marks about where in the movie I am, and I'll go back and watch a snippet of it just to see a part that I need to take out, take that part out, and then I'm done. You know, I don't watch. I can't stand to watch myself. Feel embarrassed. I embarrass myself watching myself when nobody else is watching me yet. It's kind of weird, ain't it? Like, it's almost like I'm afraid of the reaction, but that's besides the point. Oh yeah, now I remember what it was. Sony has decided to pull all their cards, you know, like the little game cards where you go to Walmart or you can go to retail stores and buy these little cards that have the little pin code on and you scan them at the register and it automatically gives you a pin code that you go and type it in on your console and it'll download that game or add-on or whatever it is for you. PlayStation's going to remove those because it says it wants to kind of boost their online store sales, which in turn says they want more money. Because if you look at it, Sony has to give a percentage to all the retail stores like GameStop, Walmart, Target, Hobby Lobby, or wherever they sell the cards at. You know, they have to give a percentage to those people. So, they want more money. And that's kind of greedy. I worry that Sony is getting way too greedy for their own good. That is my biggest takeaway from all that's happened with them lately. And they keep saying they got exclusives. They got to push exclusives. That is true. They do have exclusives. But here's the key with that. Most of their exclusives are remakes of their old exclusives. So there's nothing new coming through them. It's just remakes. I really hope they push for an Uncharted movie, though. I love that series. I hated to see it end the way it did. I've not played, what is it, Uncharted, The Lost and Damned, or The Lost and... Anyway, point is, I've not played that one, the one with the two girls in it. But I played 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I never had a Vita, so I didn't get to play The Golden Abyss. My favorite was honestly 4, except for the ending. I never wanted to punch Sam so much in my life. And if you haven't played that, I'm not going to go into much more detail about it. If you listen to this, now you're going to want to watch it. Or play it, I should say. But do yourself a favor. Don't spoil it by going on to YouTube and watching walkthroughs of it. It's a really good game you need to play for yourself. And honestly, that's about all I've got for y'all today. I hope you like this. Go check out my YouTube channel, Elmo's World, L-M-O-E, apostrophe S, World. I know that's a weird way of spelling it, but I had to adopt my own because Elmo is a very famous character, and I can't risk, you know, what would happen if me and him ever got in a, I guess you could say, copyright war. So I had to adopt my own spelling for it. I wish to take nothing away from him, but it is what it is. It's my name too, okay? My nickname. I could change it, but it is who I am. But share this podcast with your friends. I hope y'all liked it. If you got any questions, comments, and concerns, if you can't comment and send some kind of feedback through the podcast system across the board, leave a comment or a quote on my YouTube page. I also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under Elmo's World. Okay? They're all under that name. I started this, I actually have a podcast called Elmo's World, but I didn't get too far into it, and I just wanted to kind of venture away from that. I called it Elmo's World too, and it just, I got to thinking it wasn't a very flashy podcast name, so I just kind of wanted to drift away from it. But thank y'all for listening. Hope y'all liked it. Don't forget to share it. Peace and God bless, and love y'all.